Welcome to episode 347 of Fly Away. Here at Outlander Travel, we're passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes to the industry, but one thing that has stayed the same is the urge to explore our world and make the connections that can only be made through experience. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth and George. Rocky Mountaineer is the leader in luxury rail vacations. If you're interested in exploring the majestic mountains in southwestern Canada, from Vancouver to Banff to Jasper, Rocky Mountaineer lets you do it in style. And now they're bringing their glass-domed rail cars, gourmet cuisine, and top-notch service to the U.S. with their Rockies to Red Rocks journeys. This week, we've invited Danny Becker to join us. Danny is a 30-plus year veteran of the travel industry, and during that time, he primarily represented luxury travel suppliers in the cruise sector. Danny joined Rocky Mountaineer Realtors, however, in 2016, and really feels like he's on the right track now. Unintended, but I'm bummed. So Danny will summarize why Rocky Mountaineer is so popular with guests all over the world, and will focus primarily on their brand new USA route starting this August. So let's get started. So welcome. Thank you so much for being here tonight.
This is great.
Thank you, everybody. I'm excited to be here with you and tell you all about Rocky Mountaineer.
I've loved learning about the Canadian ones. So can you talk a little bit about what makes Rocky Mountaineer so special in general?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I'm doing my webinars, I kind of usually start out by saying we talk about a lot of things at Rocky Mountaineer, but we really focus on a few key attributes of the Rocky Mountaineer experience. I mean, first of all, we're not about transportation, as you guys already know, and hopefully some in your listenership, you know, will understand as well. We're about seeing the Canadian Rockies in luxury, and there is a huge difference. Mm-hmm. First of all, you mentioned it, the fantastic new domed rail cars. We have 10 brand new Gold Leaf cars in Canada. They're our third generation Gold Leaf car. They're $10 million a piece. And that's a high-end RV, right? So, we're really proud of them. They're built by a company called Stadler in Germany, and they're custom made for Rocky Mountaineer. And they have some very sophisticated equipment in them. And they're a lot, for instance, you know, the glass, the host can even dim the glass almost to 100% dark for when we are sitting on the tracks. You know, very seldom is that the case, but occasionally we'll have to sit in a siding and they'll have to, you know, lower the engine speed and all that. And it starts to get a little bit warmer. Well, they can completely darken that glass almost where it makes it really comfortable. So that's just one example of those new Gold Leaf cars, but even our Silver Leaf cars have been redone to the tune of about $5 million each. So they're very comfortable, but that's not even the start of it. Our experience is defined by incredible scenery, diverse, incredible amounts of wildlife along the way, great storytelling, incredible cuisine. I know I'm using that word a lot, but and the wine and the beer and the spirits don't hurt one bit.
Yeah, so, they're included, right?
They're all included.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, you'll want for nothing on the train. Basically, we tell people you'll absolutely want for nothing. At the end of the day, you will not be hungry. You'll want to, in Kamloops, for instance, if you're going on one of those routes that go through Kamloops, two of our routes do in Canada, then you'll get off in Kamloops and most people will go straight to bed and want to get a good night's sleep and be ready for the next day. And because they're not hungry, they've been pampered and taken care of all day long. And they had a wonderful first day and they're wanting to go to bed and get some rest for the next day. So, but that combined with the storytelling, everything is just a chemistry that works so well on Rocky Mountaineer and, you know, world-class service. We talk about that a lot too. You know, we fancy ourselves as purveyors of life-changing experiences. And to be called a luxury experience, you really have to be known for that service. I'll give you one quick example of that. In 2019, we had an NPS score of 82, which I don't know if you're familiar with NPS. It's Net Promoter Score. It's a it's a gauge of how likely our guests are to refer friends and family to Rocky Mountaineer. And we not only scored one of the highest scores in the travel industry, but in any industry. So we're really proud of that. And we're aiming to beat those scores in 2021 and 2022. So hope I wasn't too long-winded on that. So
no, that's great. Can you tell, for people who aren't familiar with it, can you kind of give us an idea of, I mean, obviously you're not Amtrak, but when people go by train for, you know, kind of a vacation, sometimes they're sleeping on the train, that kind of thing. Can you talk about how that's not how much you do and what you're looking at?
Exactly. You know, I joke when I'm doing my webinars that we don't sleep on the train unless you want to take a little cat nap. But even that is risky because you might miss something, right? And it's really true. You're going along and they're serving you a drink or a snack or whatever. And all of a sudden the host yells out, "Bear on the right," or, you know, famous bridge coming up on the left or whatever. And believe me, there are a lot of those famous bridges and dramatic waterfalls and rushing rivers and things like that. And so my point is, you really need to pay attention, have your camera out and be ready to go, because you might miss something. But we put our guests up in nice hotels every night. You don't sleep, you know, overnight on the train. Some people kind of think that, oh, wow, you know, why not? That's what I wanted. Well, trust me when I tell you, sleeping on a train is way more romantic sounding than it actually is.
I tell people that all the time. I'm like, trust me, it is not all that.
The sleep is not as good. I don't care if you are on a $10 million rail car. I mean, you want to lay down and you want to get a good night's sleep. And it's tough to do in a rail car at times, unless you're just a really heavy sleeper. So, but I hope that answers your question there.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so can you talk a little bit about the Western Canada routes before we get into the new US stuff? Because every time I've ever sat through one of your talks at like our conference or anything, the scenery is just amazing. That part of the world is absolutely gorgeous. So can you kind of talk about where they go on those routes?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we have three main routes. And if you go to RockyMountaineer.com, somewhere on the site, you'll be able to find our route map. But there, we have three primary routes. One goes from, and you can do them eastbound or westbound. Eastbound, obviously, from Vancouver, westbound from Calgary. Those are our two Canadian gateways. And by the way, if you haven't visited and spent some time in either of those cities, they're well worth spending a day or two extra there to get to know the cities. But two of the routes go through Kamloops. That's the first day. It's about a 10-hour day. And Kamloops is a Native Canadian term, or they call it First Nations term for meeting of the rivers. And it's a beautiful place. It's not like what you might think. It's semi-arid desert, like Tucson, Arizona, yet it's much, much cooler, right? So, but it's incredible, beautiful country. And they're known for their golf courses. And because they have so much abundant river water, all of their golf courses and soccer fields and softball fields and all that are very green. So that's where everybody in Western Canada comes for their tournaments. It's known as the tournament capital of Western Canada. So that's the interim stop for two of our routes, for First Passage to the West and Journey Through the Clouds. And then you'll get going either up north to Jasper the next day if you're Journey Through the Clouds, or to Banff and Lake Louise if you are First Passage to the West. And so picture those two routes coming from Calgary westbound, and it would be done from Banff, just the opposite of that. So you would go from Banff to Kamloops and then Kamloops to Vancouver. Mm-hmm. Now, our newest route in Canada is called RGR, Rainforest to Gold Rush. We call it RGR for short. And it's almost a three-day route. All of those, I can't get into this in as much detail as I probably normally would, but they all are just replete with all kinds of incredible rivers and gorges And I just can't even begin to describe it. It is really impressive. And it's just one thing after the other. And the way that our hosts bring it to life for our guests is pretty special.
Am I correct? Sorry, Sandy. Am I correct in thinking that some of these places are very remote where this might be really the only way for you to go see them, you know, nonetheless visit, but to just get out into unspoiled wilderness? Is that correct? Or are these pretty well-trod paths?
No, thanks for that softball. That's right up my alley.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
Ask the hard questions.
That's exactly what we like talking about, because but we like to say about 70% of our train routes in Canada on average, we've actually done kind of an impromptu study on this, and approximately 70% of what you see on Rocky Mountaineer, you can't see any other way unless you were following the train in an airplane or a helicopter through the Rockies, which is not practical, right? So there are places that you see the highway and that the highway sees you, but very few. And so the vast majority of the dramatic bridges and waterfalls and mountains and incredible topography that you see is you can't see any other way.
So you mentioned the host. Can you talk a little bit more about what you would expect your host to be kind of telling you or showing you when you're on the train or when you're on your trip?
Absolutely. You know, they do triple duty, actually. They serve drinks and snacks. They're talking. It's not an easy job, I'll tell you. They actually had the BDMs try to do this one time, and we failed miserably. So we showed our lack of dexterity when we tried to do that. I guess it just takes some practice too, right? But because if you think about it, they have to do a lot of what they do while the train is traveling forward, and they're looking backwards. So they're at the front of the train car, and they're talking, and they're multitasking. They're serving drinks, and they're talking about, let's say, for instance, Craigellachie, which is the meeting of the tracks on the First Passage to the West route. They're talking about the history behind that, or Hell's Gate. They're saying Hell's, and you'll see Hell's Gate on the right, and they're serving a martini, you know, and they're telling funny stories. Like they tell a story of some poor Canadian that donned a Sasquatch suit and then got shot at. So anyway, it's that kind of thing that they really make it, they make it fun and engaging, and I can't wait to when we start again.
So that brings us to the kind of elephant in the room, because we can't go to Canada right now, right? So these aren't actually going on in Canada, right? Canadians aren't even doing this. Is that correct?
That's correct. I mean, you know, we would never would have dreamed that this COVID would last this long, and the Canadian government, Canada as a country, is unfortunately not as up to date with us as far as the amount of people that gotten their vaccinations. I mean, they've been on top of it, but they just haven't had the availability of the vaccine like we have. And in reality, the number of people in Canada that have had their first shots is actually higher per capita than in the U.S. In the U.S. compared to the U.S. who have had both shots. So they are improving. It's getting better. We just don't yet quite know exactly when we might see the Canadian government opening the border. I still feel optimistic about September and October. July is out, really out, it looks like, for Americans. August is now my sort of gray area. But the good thing is, if somebody does want to book, they can, if it's a brand new booking, they can book without any risk and completely get their money back. If it looks like we can't travel this year and they don't want to extend it till next year, we happily give them their money back if it's a brand new booking. And then we hope that they'll come back to us, you know, for next year. So, that's the best thing that I can tell you right now, although, you know, we're having more meetings this week and maybe we'll find out more. So stay tuned on the Canadian border. Yeah.
We're having to tell people that things are changing like daily still. So yeah.
Minute by minute, really.
And, you know, I talked to one of our group VCs this morning, and they are getting more and more optimistic because more and more Canadians, particularly British Columbians, are being vaccinated and in fact getting their second shots now. Alberta was the problem for a while. They had a higher outbreak due to multiple reasons I won't get into, but it is looking better, and we are optimistic. And of course, the Rockies to the Red Rocks route, no problem on that. We will be operating a full season, and we'll be bringing, like you said earlier, we've now upped the amount of cars that we're bringing. It's now 11, I think 11 total Silverleaf cars, and then two of our lounge cars for our Silverleaf Plus service. So we're excited about that.
So there's another segue.
Thanks for the softball.
That's a good softball for you. Then.
Perfect. So yeah, let's talk about the U.S. routes, because this is really exciting that you guys have. Is this something you guys did because of COVID, or was this already in the works?
You know, it's funny because a lot of people do think we did it because of COVID, but in actuality, it was in the works for several years now. In fact, I remember talking about this even in 2018.
Okay.
But what did change is how fast we decided to do it. Our owner, Peter Armstrong, is very active in the business, and so is his family, his kids are. And in fact, his kids are on the board. He said early last year when the pandemic hit that, you know, if we can't bring our U.S. guests to the Canadian Rockies to ride our train, then we're going to bring it to them, bring the train to them. And that's what we spent all of last year doing, along with, you know, being forced to suspend a lot of different departures. We were planning for the Rockies to the Red Rocks route. And the name I submitted, we had a little internal contest. The name I submitted was From Mile High to Moab, but I lost. So there you go.
It's good, though. It's good. You deserve some credit.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
I do want to go to Red Rock, so that's like a bucket list for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So tell us about it. Let's talk about what that trip is going to look like and what people could expect. Like, how long is it? Are there different options? What does that one look like?
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry about my voice, by the way. I've been using it so much lately that I'm a little hoarse. So I have to stop and get a drink of water every once in a while.
Yeah.
So RTR, we are so excited about. It's selling incredibly well, especially lately. In the last month, I would say, we've seen a huge number of bookings come in, and that makes sense. People are loosening up. I live here in Dallas, Texas, and Texans are just like, you know, raring to go.
Yeah, here too.
So we're excited. We will, the season will actually start August 15th. That's our inaugural departure from Denver to Moab. The interim stop is in a beautiful little place called Glenwood Springs, Colorado. I didn't know anything about Glenwood Springs before we decided to do this, but it's a beautiful little town. It's known for its hot springs. It's got the world's largest hot springs pool. In fact, it's got several pools. It's known for its historic hotels. It's a very walkable city with a pedestrian bridge over the Colorado River. So that's our interim stop. And then that trip from Denver to Moab is about 8 hours. So you leave Denver Union Station, by the way, at about 9 a.m. and arrive Glenwood Springs at about 5. And the next day, leave Glenwood Springs at 7 a.m. and arrive Moab at about noon. And they'll turn the train around and go eastbound at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Hmm. So do most people do it round trip, or do they do one way?
We do have a round trip option. So if you have people that want to just go in to Denver, park there, or, you know, fly in and out of Denver to save a little bit of money on the round trip air, there is a round trip option. There is a day or so interim, you know, in Moab because of the train schedule, but we do offer that round trip option. It's kind of our mini version of a Canadian, what we call circle journey.
Mm-hmm. And sorry, I'm like lost my train of thought. Sorry, George.
Well, I think for that, it's really helpful too, because Moab is in the middle of nowhere. There's no airport really close by. So, but you do offer a couple of sort of options that take you elsewhere after Moab, right?
Oh yeah. As a matter of fact, we have last count of the things you can do on that end, whether you do them first, if you're going on the train eastbound from Moab to Denver, or whether you do them last after your rail trip. There, we visit in various packages that we have. Last count, there was about 18 or 19 different packages when you consider both eastbound and westbound. And but some of them start or end, as the case may be, in Las Vegas. Some of them start or end in Salt Lake City, or you can just do rail only, or do that circle journey option that I just mentioned.
So do you guys, I think I know the answer to this question because I'm familiar with your product, but can you talk about the kind of sweet spot for who your clients are? Like, are there kids on this?
Yeah, I would say more so in the USA experience than in Canada, because we're targeting, you know, I think more of a wide open sort of family group. Although I think just seeing the booking so far, it's still going to lean to the 60 plus crowd, but there will definitely be more families and more kids because it's closer to the US and it, you know, it's more of a family type, you know, package because of the sort of more adventure type reputation that part of Utah has, right? So, you know, Moab, Utah is known as the mountain sports capital of the nation. And there's a lot of really cool things to do there, like Jeep trips and a jet boat ride down the Colorado, which is not as fast as it sounds. It's actually a very tame jet boat ride, but definitely a beautiful one down the Colorado River. But, you know, the key thing here is just incredible Red Rock scenery in all of the Mighty Five national parks, like Zion National Park. And I'm going blank on some of the other names.
Arches, maybe.
Bryce Canyon. Yep. Canyonlands National Park. There's five total, two of which are really close to Moab, and that you sort of use Moab as your center of operations for that part, so to speak. But the proximity of both Salt Lake City and Vegas really make them, you know, not too distant for a nice motor coach trip to see some of those other national parks, as well as some other things as well, like one of the stops on several of the packages actually is where the Sundance Film Festival is.
And
I can't remember the name of the little town, but
my friend went there and brought us back a t-shirt. She was there during Sundance and I can't remember the name of it either. Park City, right?
I don't think this particular
Park City.
It's in Utah, but I can't, it's a little town and it's where it's one that, the actor made famous, and now I'm drawing a blank on his name too, but he started the film festival there.
It was Robert Redford, wasn't it?
Redford, yes.
Yeah. It's like, maybe I'm making that up, but I don't think I am. Yeah, I think you have such a unique product, and I think as somebody who, you know, we're all in the travel industry, so we know a lot about these companies and these smaller companies that offer unique offerings, but what always strikes me about Rocky Mountaineer is how many people know about you. It's a bucket list. I hate to use the term bucket list right after you mentioned a lot of the audience is 60 plus, but but it is like one of those things where people know about it, and even though you do a very small thing, really, you know, three routes in Canada, now one in the U.S., more to come, maybe?
Yeah, actually, you know, I was, until I learned more about this route that they chose, now I know why they chose this route, but before that, I was thinking it was going to be another actual route that we're looking at that takes in Glacier National Park.
Mm. Nice.
And possibly even some in the wine country and in parts of Oregon, and that area. So there are more to come for sure, especially if this one takes off like it appears to be. And we have a great rail partner. Our rail partner is Union Pacific, and they have worked with us tirelessly to launch this new route. And we're really excited about the future of other routes in the U.S. as well. And I'll tell you, not insignificant in this whole mix is the fact that we'll be traveling out of Union Station from Denver, because that's a beautiful station. It has obviously has a rail theme, but it also has a rail themed hotel in it called the Crawford. And it's from what I understand, I believe it's a newly renovated hotel, but it has a rail theme. So it's right there inside the Union Station. And the great thing is that, or one of the great things about that is the area around Union Station is called Larimer Square. And it's very much like Glenwood Springs, in that it's a very walkable area, lots of brew pubs and Colorado's known for their beer. They're like the Napa Valley of beer. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of things to do right in that Larimer Square area. And you can take the A-line from Denver Airport directly into Union Station. And there you are, especially if you are staying a night or two at the Crawford, or even any of the other hotels that are right across the street, literally from that station. So it makes it really convenient if you want to fly into Denver and take the A-line. It's about $17 a person. It's about a 35-minute trip. It makes it really convenient to go straight to Union Station.
Yeah, I think one of the other appeals of a trip like this is, you know, there are definitely train nerds out there. You know, there's people who just love trains, but you don't have to love trains. Like, this is not, it's not all about, yes, you will absolutely get that element, but if one person in the relationship is a train freak and the other one is not, it's still a great vacation. You know, it's got so much more.
You got it. You want to, I mean, how much time do you have? I'm a certified train.
I have one more question about the kind of service level. You had mentioned like the Silver Leaf and the Gold Leaf. Can you talk a little bit about the difference in those?
Yeah, absolutely. So Gold Leaf in Canada, that is, those are our twin level cars, custom made cuisine, you know, made to order. And, you know, you have two seatings. So you have a spiral staircase that goes up and down from the passenger level to the lower area where the Gold Leaf dining car is, and the outdoor viewing platform, which, by the way, is beautiful and exclusive to the guests in that Gold Leaf car. But Silver Leaf, we're very careful not to position it as better. It's just different. They're both really incredible classes of service. The difference is mainly the way the cuisine is served. In Silver Leaf, you're served all your snacks, meals, and drinks seat side, like first class on an airline, only much better food and much more of it. And the drinks keep coming, and it's very festive atmosphere. Now, so as salespeople, we would have, you know, gone ahead and just said, okay, yes, bring, you know, five or six Gold Leaf cars down there. Well, our people in the know in Canada did some checking first, obviously, as you would hope and expect they would. And the Gold Leaf domes are just slightly too tall for the tunnels on the new RTR route. So kind of glad we didn't bring them.
Yeah, that would have been awkward. A convertible.
Exactly. Yeah, that would not look good. So we're having two classes of service to compensate. We're having Silver Leaf and Silver Leaf Plus. And so I mentioned earlier, we're bringing, I think last count was 11 cars, 11 Silver Leaf cars and both of our newly renovated lounge cars. And they should be leaving Vancouver anytime now to head down through Seattle and down on Union Pacific tracks to head to Denver for that August 15th inaugural. But anyway, so there's a service called Silver Leaf Plus. It's about $400 extra per person. It's going to have upgraded cuisine, you know, even more access to upgraded liquors, wines, and beers. And they have, the key thing here is they'll do all this upgraded stuff in the lounge car, which they'll have almost unlimited access to. So they can go in there just about any time they want to go in, other than maybe meal times that they're serving meals in the regular Silverleaf cars. They'll be able to go in there and take their friends who are also Silverleaf Plus in there. The only problem with this, and it's really, I guess, a good problem to have from our perspective, is that for whatever reason, the westbound RTR, westbound Silverleaf Plus departures have sold out a lot quicker, not completely sold out, but are selling out a lot quicker than the, did I say eastbound?
You said westbound.
The westbound are selling out quicker than the eastbound. So there's more availability on the eastbound for Silverleaf Plus. So, but in reality, I like that direction better because you have more time in Moab. The train doesn't leave Moab until 2 p.m. Going west to east out of Moab. So you actually get more time in Moab to that morning before your train departure to explore. And they do some actual, you know, local tours until they drop people off at the rail platform.
So just one last thing I want to mention before we were recording, you and George were talking about a show on Smithsonian where they featured Rocky Mountaineer. So I thought maybe people might want to check that out. Can you remind me what that show was called? So that I will know too.
We had one episode on that. It's various train companies, mm-hmm. You know, all over the world basically. And they have, the guy that does it, I can't recall his name now because it's been, gosh, several months since I've watched all those, but it's on the Smithsonian Channel and it's called Mighty Trains. And it's very, very entertaining. In fact, on the Rocky Mountaineer episode, I learned some things I didn't know. And I've been with the company 5 years, particularly things about our new Gold Leaf cars that they were talking about. And just logistic kind of geeky stuff that only us train, not just only us train enthusiasts would enjoy, but really they make it where a lot of people would enjoy it. And I'm assuming that the Smithsonian Channel has those available online to view, but that's something I'm just not really sure about. I don't know when they started a new season or if they did even, but if you can find those, they're all very entertaining and I've watched almost all of them. So anyway, for what that's worth, I wish I could give you a little bit more specific.
Yeah, that's great. I think people can find it if they want to find it. Awesome. Yeah.
I would think it would be on the Smithsonian Channel's site. In fact, it seems like I maybe did watch an episode on there or something. I just don't recall for sure, but I know mm-hmm. I taped all of the ones there for a season. So,
cool. All right. Well, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com. iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. And a huge thank you, Danny, for joining us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was awesome.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
On behalf of Elizabeth, George, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.